Thanks for the introduction, Hillary. So I'm going to be talking about the response of Target Spot and Cotton to fungicide applications. A little bit of background information, as we've already heard in some of the previous student talks about Target Spot. It is caused by the fungal pathogen, Carnaspora caspilicola. And in 2008, there in the South, Deep South, in Georgia, Alabama, in 2008 was the first report. But since then, it is spread out over the southeast into the mid-south, and in 2013 was the first report of Target Spot in cotton in Tennessee. It was noted in just one county the beginning of September. In 2014 we saw it repeated a little bit earlier, the middle of August, but only in two different counties. 2015, the end of July, again still a little bit earlier, was reported in multiple counties and was the first year that it was reported more in commercial fields, but near the end of the season in those commercial fields. And in 2016, this past year, was the first year that, even though in my research plots, and in general I'm saying the end of July was when we first saw it in 2016, we definitely were getting calls about it from commercial growers in July, and so there is a probability that it might have started as early as middle of July in some commercial fields in Tennessee. In 2016 was the first time we really saw the disease develop in commercial fields in Tennessee. The pathogen has a large host range, including soybean, and so with that, with the first report of Target Spot in cotton in 2014, we started a trial to look at fungicide and the response of cotton to it with the in the presence of Target Spot. With that, we looked at single and double applications and two different varieties. We used Phytogen 499, that's considered a highly susceptible variety, Deltapine 1321, that's considered a more tolerant variety. Both still get the disease. And our single and double applications, we just used Headline at 6 fluid ounces per acre. And single applications went out based on growth stage of the plant. So we looked at first week of bloom, third week of bloom, fifth week of bloom. And then we looked at double applications that included the first week of bloom plus the third week of bloom, or the third week of bloom followed by the fifth week of bloom. And in 2015 and 2016, we had two additional treatments that we called our IPM treatments. And that was once we saw the disease, the foliar symptoms of the disease on the leaves in this field, we went out with an application, and we either went out only one time or we went out one time and followed up 2 weeks later with a second application. So that's our single IPM or our double IPM treatment. And I do want to point out the one other thing in this data set is in 2014, our first and third week of bloom application did not go out. First year, it just some miscommunication. In 2014, though, we did not have a lot of trials for Target Spot because we didn't even know if we'd still see it. So with that, I was able to do six replications in 2014. But in 2015 and 16, we had many more trials come in. Space got limited, and so only four replications went out in 2015 and 16. Every year, we had disease ratings that were taken twice. Every year, severity and defoliation were taken, and also percent incidence in 2015 and 16, as well as all of them were taken to yield. And so to go over some of the differences, just again in dates and kind of weather of across the 3 years. So 2014, again, middle of August, was when we first saw the disease begin. Planting of this trial was May 12th, and harvest was October 27th. 2015, we saw the disease come on the end of July, planted the trial May 6th, harvested October 14th. 2016, again, around the same disease onset time, same planting time, but you'll see we harvested it earlier, and you'll see that's due to the increased amount of heat that we saw in 2016. In general, the crop did mature earlier in 2016. In general, it was a very good year for growing cotton, and we hit some records in Tennessee for cotton yields. But looking at some of the differences in weather, it got a little bit drier each year, but still significant moisture for the pathogen and for infection and development. And then you have the mean minimum temperature, mean maximum temperature. This is all across May through October. And then you have the mean average temperature across that growing season. And that's where you see in 2016 a whole almost 3 degrees warmer on average in 2016. And so just to give you an idea too, the week of bloom, even though that was the same for application every year, that didn't always occur in the same calendar date time period. So you can see some of the differences there in the table when that occurred. But essentially, across the years, our applications occurred somewhere between the last week of July through the fourth week of August. And again, those IPM treatments differed. In 2015, the IPM treatment was triggered third week of bloom, followed by the fifth week of bloom. And then in 2016, it was actually, we went out and kind of got out a little bit late on our IPM application, and we went out the fifth week of bloom, followed by the seventh week of bloom. But I was kind of interested to see kind of that late application timing, if we still had some effect or some response to that. So looking at where we did get some significant effects across this trial, this data set. So across the top, we're looking at the variables that we collected data on. Incidence, percent incidence was 0 to 100, which is the number of, if a plant had one lesion on every leaf, that's 100% incidence. Where severity, you might have two different plots that they have lesions on every leaf, but one plot has 10 lesions on almost every leaf versus that other plot only has one. And that's your difference in severity. Where you have 10 lesions per leaf, you're going to have a higher severity, even though incidence on those two plots would still both be 100. Defoliation was 0 to 100%. Again, just estimating the percent defoliation of the plant from the bottom up at the target spot creates. And then you also have lint in pounds per acre. And so you can see variety across all those variables was highly significant, so was year, which can be expected in those two. Number of applications, meaning just non-treated, single, or double, was significant across almost all of them. Again, lint, pretty close at 0.0516. The timing of applications, looking at if it was the first week, third week, fifth week, bloom, or if it was the first followed by the third week followed by the fifth week. You saw significance there, but not with an effect on lint. And then there was an interaction for number of applications and year on defoliation. And we focus on defoliation a lot because most of the time, defoliation is more highly correlated with our effect on yield when it comes to target spot. We also still had some other interactions when it came to incidence and severity. So kind of just focusing on some of those initial significant effects for variety. You can see here you have Phytogen 499 in gray and Delta Pine 1321 in orange. And across all the disease parameters, Phytogen 499 always had higher disease parameters, higher defoliation compared to the Delta Pine. And that difference, though, it kind of continues where you still have higher yield with your Phytogen 499 compared to your Delta Pine. And that still just goes back to the yield potential of the two varieties in our area. But there you do have about 187-pound difference between the two varieties. And then going into the yearly differences. So again, all significant across these years. But just again to point out, 2014 had the lowest level of disease. Not unexpected, being that we first reported the disease in 2013. 2015, we had the highest amount of disease and defoliation. And then 2016 fell in the middle for my disease plots. And so while in the rest of the state, it kind of seemed like 2016 had the highest amount of disease in those commercial fields, that I believe the inoculum level was finally built up in those commercial fields, where in my research plots, I'd already built up that inoculum level in 2015, and it was just kind of now stabling off in this field where we're doing this research. And so then the yield followed that same trend, where we had the lowest amount of disease in 2014, we had the highest yield. In 2015, where we had the highest amount of disease, we had the lowest yield. In 2016, fell in the middle. I do want to mention here, I'm not presenting or have any numbers on the actual growth on these 3 years, but in 2015, that field where we had the most disease, the cotton also got the most rank. We missed an application or so of a growth regulator, and I think that does play a role in some of these results. Now getting into some of the fungicide data, number of applications. So again, it was significant across defoliation severity and incidence parameters, but with that, it was mainly that an application did significantly reduce disease and defoliation compared to the non-treated check, regardless of if it was one application or two applications. When it came to yield, again, you're right on the cusp of being significant, 0.0516. So depending on your statistician and your point of view, whether you consider this significantly different or not. But leaning if you just go at a 0.1 significance level and saying it is significant, the double application did significantly yield greater than the non-treated check. Where that single application, though, didn't significantly yield less than the non-treated or the double application, falling there in the middle. So looking at 89 pounds difference between the non-treated check and a double application. And what we'll see is at the end of my presentation, though, that 89 pounds would cover the cost of that application based on the initial economic analysis that we've done. So looking at then the timing of the application, what we really wanted to see is, can we tell growers what is the best timing in Tennessee to go out with a fungicide application if you are going to, if it's warranted because of target spot. And so defoliation, the percent defoliation is in the blue bars associated with the axis on the left, and then the orange line is your yield associated with the axis on the right. And so the Lynch was not significant here. It was the p-value of 0.27. And again, defoliation, again, was on the cusp there at 0.06. But still putting in the difference of the letter values based on a 0.1 significance, you see that, again, everything significantly reduced defoliation compared to the non-treated check for the third week, followed by the fifth week, and then a solo application at fifth week were the best treatments for reducing defoliation. And across the 3 years of data, the double application there had the highest, numerically highest Lynch or yield. And so I do want to point out, though, there was the timing by year interaction for defoliation. But again, not significant for yield. But if we take this data set, which is across all 3 years, and look at it just by individual year. So 2014, again, we had low disease pressure, but I think we were able to control it much more because of the low disease pressure. And with that, too, we had 6 replications. And sometimes I think in certain in cotton and in certain some situations with diseases and other parameters, more reps will give you the greater power you need to see those statistical differences. And so here, again, Lint wasn't significant, but had the same trend as what you saw with controlling the defoliation from the disease, where the third week followed by the fifth week had the lowest amount of defoliation and the highest yield, followed then by the fifth week, third week, and first week. 2015, all over the board. If you just look at 2015, there was almost so much disease, we weren't able to control any of the defoliation to a significant level, as well as then the yield is just kind of all over the place. And this is where, again, we're wanting to further investigate some of the other parameters that are influencing disease development, and that being plant growth. There might be certain situations where if you let the plant growth get out of control, your fungicide application is going to be for naught. You need to invest in growth regulator application first and then see if you'd even need a fungicide application. 2016, again, it was kind of the middle level for disease level. We did significantly control defoliation with some of our applications. Again, that fifth week, here the single application, fifth week, the single IPM application, which was also fifth week, are the same as expected. And then you have the third week followed by the fifth week doing a good job, as well as what we call the double IPM, which actually went out the fifth week of bloom followed by the seventh week of bloom to see if, well, am I too late? Let's go out and see. And we still did get control of some of that defoliation, but you'll see the yield numerically dropped off right there. So again, the yield wasn't significant, but we are seeing a little bit of a trend go along with our percent control of that defoliation. And so just the simple economics right now that we plan to dive into more for a paper in the future, but in general, with some of the numbers we've gotten just on headline, and just going based on gallon, the price per gallon, you're needing somewhere between 19 and 62 pounds per acre for one to two fungicide applications to break even. And so where we were seeing that double application increase our yield over 3 years of about 89 bushels per acre, or I'm sorry, pounds per acre, that would cover those costs. But again, that's across 3 years, and as you saw in 2015, we didn't see any difference. But again, this break-even is going to be sensitive to your fungicide costs, your application costs, as well as then the price of Lint. And so some of that's broken down up here too, where, you know, depending on how much, because of the great range we saw and just the price of headline, $10 increase per gallon of headline, you would need to be increasing 0.65 pounds per acre of Lint to cover each $10 increase you're paying for any fungicide product, really. And then Lint price, you need to increase 1.87 pounds per acre to cover a 5 cent decrease in Lint price. So in summary, again, the Phytogen 499 had greater disease, but it still had greater yield. So still variety selection is very important when considering this disease and overall disease management. Again, years varied based on the amount of disease that developed as well as disease onset. Both single and double applications significantly reduced disease and defoliation, with the double application on average yielding greater than the non-treated check. IPM timings, we kind of have that third week of bloom, the third week followed by the fifth week of bloom, as well as then the fifth week of bloom, really, decreasing disease and protecting yield. But again, there's that significant interaction between year and timing, that it's really going to be based on each individual year and assessing each field what is the best timing for fungicide application to protect yield and reduce disease. With that, I'd like to provide thanks to Cotton Incorporated for funding this project, the Field Crop Plant Pathology Program at University of Tennessee, and the West Tennessee Research and Education Center, where this research was conducted. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions you all have. Question is it safe to use PICS and fungicide at the same time? I believe you can, but I don't know that you'd want to that late in the season. For the most part, by that time when you'd be using, well, yeah, you still might be needing to. So yeah. So, Bob, have you done any research with that?
Never had a problem.
Yeah, never had a problem. You have tank mist. So yes, you can. But that's a good point. We might need to look at that more, too. And that's one of our objectives in a new regional trial we're developing right now. Bob?
I'd say it's, first two things is your third and fifth, I think, is just the difference in environment between the southeast where we might be first and third. But also, we're uncomfortable as scientists walking away from the 90% or 95% confidence interval. But what you see consistently is what we see. Making recommendations, I'm not afraid to make recommendations. I'm uncomfortable. I wish it was 95%, but it's not. But we're seeing the same thing you do. A consistent response when the disease is present at those times.
So yeah.
We'll see the same thing.
One more question.
Okay.
Then we're out of time.
What is the earliest? Two questions. What is the earliest that you actually saw any one of these years in this trial actually saw harvest loss symptoms on the lower lips?
Last week of July, but I would
what week of bloom I'm thinking. Did you have any third week of bloom? What was it?
We did. I mean, we saw it. So 2016, that was kind of in between first and third week. Well, around third week of bloom. But just when we first see it too, we can kind of recognize the pinpoint kind of small red brick lesions that I wouldn't always expect to be identified by a scout or a grower, because you really still, if they're just going based on symptoms, you're waiting for it to develop a little bit more. But with that, we've still found waiting a little bit more to actually see those iconic symptoms. That's kind of what we really use those IPM treatments on. When we saw them at pinhead, we waited until we actually saw more of what we saw, a true target spot lesion, to go out with that IPM application.
And the last part of that question is, I guess, to you and Bob both, from what you've seen, if the situation gets me to spray a fungicide, about to say third week of bloom or fourth week of bloom, the data shows that two applications consistently reduce disease better. Now, they yield better, but they generally do better. I mean, if the weather, everything it gets me to spray it, third week of bloom, should I commit myself then to automatic spray 2 weeks later?
I would say no. If you find yourself spraying once and you know you need to spray once, I don't think that in our area, I don't think that generally commits you to automatically want to go out with a second spray. Because again, there were years where just one well-timed application worked well.